Going there?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have Pasha's bow over here, and the first piece is the Rebbeinu Bechaya, and he deals with the pasuk Eish Asher Hisalalti B'Mitzrayim. So he says, what's the lashon alila? Because really the word alila has a sort of a pejorative note to it. It's when somebody is devious, scheming, plotting, that type of flavor to it. So what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misalel? When you play with somebody else, it's called Hisalalti. So the Rebbe Mechai offers a very different shot. The Tovon Lefarsha says Hisalalti Shuloshin Ila. The Loshin of Hisalalti is a Loshin of a Ila, meaning the word Ila is a word that comes as a pair. There's Ila and Olul. There is Siba and Mesayvev. Now, the word, both of those words mean cause and effect. It's something which is, but I believe, the Maral uses those Ashinas a lot when he speaks of Hashem as being the Olo, but what's interesting is that I'm not sure that the those words are bechlal Hebrew words in Lashon HaMikra. I mean, Ila and Olo are words that are used frequently by the later Mefarshim, by the early philosophers, to describe cause and effect in sort of a professional way. I don't know that there's anything in a pasuk that would suggest the word Ila and Olo should mean that. So I'm not quite sure how we would take the word Ila to mean that. But at any rate, it's I think it's Lashon Gemara mostly. Olul is a good Lashon Gemara, I guess, Ila. But how that would fit in the Pasuk, I don't know. But he says it's from cause and effect. I think Ilan Ol is cause and effect of more fundamental way than Siva Mesovet. Siva Mesovet is kind of it happened to be a cause that happened to be the immediate cause, or it happened to cause something else, but it's not a cause in a fundamental way. But it's like the difference between somebody says the glass that you put fell off because somebody sneezed. It fell off the table. Well, that's a cause and effect. But on a deeper level, it's because you always put things in places in a very precarious way, and it's just a question of a little wind or a sneeze or a shaking a small thing table that will cause it to fall off. So if you look at it in a bigger, in a more fundamental way, the cause is your sloppy and sort of uncaring way of putting things down and so on. But at any rate, the word Ila here means a cause in a very primary shorish, and the understanding of it in the pasuk is as follows. He says, the things that happen in this world are called alilos. The reason is like this. When things go in the way that one would expect them to go, that if Reuven did A and that caused B and that causes C, that seems to be normal. But if something happens that's not at all in the cards, like that's not the way it should have worked out. Why is this coming out from this? So it forces me to realize there's a deeper cause, and somebody else has been calling the shots, and somebody else has been using these as pawns maybe, or whatever it is. So therefore, he's saying that the Ila is the Alila. If the Alila causes you to realize there must be an Ila. When you see Mitzrayim, it seems very strong, very powerful, kind of in control of the situation, and things keep being messed up for them, you say, you know, maybe Mitzrayim is not in control. Maybe it's not all about Mitzrayim. Maybe it's something else. That happened. That's the type of understanding of what Ilan Olul is. So he says, V'nikku kol ha'pulos ha'lilos. Everything Hashem does in the world is called Nalila. Because everything comes from that first Ila, and everything else is an olul of that ilah. Okay, and the second piece is a Rabbeinu Bechaya also, going on the pasuk. It says Moshe stuck out his matah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought an east wind, which covered everything, which brought the arba. HaBoker Hoya was Boker, and Ruach HaKadosh not just arba. Now, obviously, the pasuk is emphasizing something which really doesn't need any emphasis. Moshe brought the arba. The schedule of the arba landing and taking off doesn't seem to be of any real significance. So he says here, Yisod. First of all, he said, Rabbi Chaim notes, Mizrach brings the Peronius, Meir is Mishalot the Peronius. It doesn't explain the import of that. Then he says, Umashama Abayka Hoya, Lefisha Peronius Harishayim Baboka. The retribution against the wicked comes in the morning. V'cheina ma'akosav lebkorim atzaz korishe oretz. By Moshe Bakorah says, Boka v'yod Hashem Hashalo. And on the other hand, Yeshua Tzadikim is also in the morning. Let's explain a little bit this Nekuda. The word, the Ibn Ezra says that the word Boker and Erev mean as follows. Erev comes from the word Erbev, or Erbev comes from the word Arev, which means to mix together. Because in the evening, when you're standing and you watch as night falls, as it's evening, you begin to see a loss of visual resolution of the items that you're looking at. Slowly the lines blur and everything becomes one blob and you can't make out the different elements that you're looking at. The word boker comes from bikoret tiyah, which is sort of criticism, critique, which in the sense that we're using it means resolution. When the sharpness of distinction, the sharpness of the lines become readily visible and we get a very clear sense of the definitions of each element, the resolution of each element. There's a hanhaga in the Bria where the difference between tzaddik and rasha, between ra and tov, becomes obfuscated. And that is the erev of the Bria. That's when things are kind of mushed and we can't figure out why there's tzaddik v'ra and rasha v'tov lo. Then there's a tkuf in the Bria where things become crisply resolved and we see very clearly what it is that a tzaddik is and what it is a rasha is and why he gets chayim and why he gets onus and so on and so forth. That's the Zman of Boker. So the Zman of Boker designates the period of time when Rishon get the punishment and Tzadikim are saved, and the time of Erev is vice versa.
Rabbi,
yes.
Is there anything that distinguishes Boker from Yom? I mean, Yom, you have the same distinction as well. So it's going specifically about Boker.
Well, Boker, yes, because when a person is... we don't tend to notice the things except in contrast. So when a person is standing and looking and watching a sunset, he sees clearly the melding, you see the melding of different elements. In the morning, as it becomes morning, you note, like things begin to get their outline, they begin to get their shape. So Boker and Erev, those critical moments of transition, are the moments when you really notice the two. Okay, Netan says Choshech, it says Varo Isha Sah Khan Tata Shazam Hoy Tol Hay Orma Shah Sam. So the Rabban says as follows. Vitam Laro Isha Akhla Kobish Tahta Kaloy Hoya Khaishka Zafisas or Shemesh Bomisham Vaik Mulaila. This Choshech was not only a lack of light, Avoyhashka fell cloma aid of no oid Shiyod Mel Shemayim, a very thick cloud that came from Shemayim. Kalkein Amar Netes of Hashemayim, Lahoy Visham Hashem Dol Fel Salem, Vaisha Mechaba Kol Ner, was like a thick cloud that would, it extinguished any light. Kasha Bechol Chafir, Achafir Samuk Sechomorosa Choshka Otsum Lish Kaimaner. Just like when sometimes you're down in a cave, down deep, there isn't usually enough, many times not enough oxygen to keep a light going, here also. To Ramban, it should be to a certain level of intense darkness. Yes, why don't they use candles? So the darkness came like it would be a thick blanket smothering rather than just a lack of light. So Raman says the word choshech here could be referring to as if they were smothered by a thick cloud, and that's why you had all these phenomena being able to get up and so on and so forth. I can add the following. I think Raman is clear about what he means, but we can also understand a little bit differently, using the same sense of the words. If you're in a room that's dark, what we call darkness, we don't see, but there's usually enough light that we can sort of get a sense of things around us. Even though we think it's dark, I think the eye can detect even one photon. So when you have the typical darkness at night in the house, there is some light seeping in that we don't notice as light, we can't use it straightforwardly, but it certainly doesn't give us a sensation of being oppressed in. I've been in caves, you know, like very deep underground caves, caverns, or coal mine, and over there, the darkness is so intense because you don't actually have any light whatsoever, that you're paralyzed. You don't have even that little light that you don't notice, but gives you some sense of it, and it really feels as if you're smothered. You just don't have anything that can give you the ability to walk around or whatever it is. So you could learn it a little bit in a lesser darga, but the same idea, that the intense darkness is what gives you the that sense, that feeling. Okay, the next one is a very, very famous Ramban on the concept of Achodzah Zelchem Rosh Chodoshim. What does it mean, Rosh Chodoshim? In what sense? It's the first of the month, so what? Rosh Hashanah comes in Rosh Hashanah. And in what sense is Nisan the first of the month? V'tam Achodzah Zelchem Rosh Chodoshim, Shem Yimnu Oitzi Yisrael Chodesh Rishon. Kol Yisrael needs to count it as the first month. So Ramban says that the point of this nes is the point of this counting is we're supposed to name the months as follows: Nisan as the Chodesh Rishon, Iyar as Chodesh Hasheni, and that's how Tanakh is. Chodesh Rishon, Chodesh Hasheni, Chodesh Hashlishi. You have a constant reference to the months, and that's how you call it. The Valkeni says, "Ein lechadosh Hashem b'Torah." You have a chodesh shlishi, shana shen chodesh hasheni, chodesh shvi, bechad lachodesh, v'chein kulo. So months are referred to in Lashon Kodesh as in as numbers. The names, as he says later, came much later. So he says like this, that we have the minion of months is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 around Nisan, just like the minion of days on Shabbos, revolve around Shabbos. Now, I want to explain the significance of it. You know, there are people on Machbit to try to mention the names of the Jewish months, Dafka, and so on. Now, I want to try to give a little bit of a sense to it. Whenever we count something, if you ever see like a little kid who's beginning to learn how to count, he'll walk into the dining room and say, "I just counted in the other room, 43. I say, 43 what? Well, I counted 43. The couch, the dog, 6 toys on the floor, 2 brothers, etc., etc. And you realize very quickly that that counting is meaningless, because you counted what? Counting needs a point of reference. On a graph, you have a point of origin. It's minus one. On the x-axis. It's plus three on the y-axis. There's got to be a point to which you're counting. This deviates from this point in the following way. Any count that doesn't have any significant any point of reference is not a counting really. So when we count, for instance, the Goyish months, the Goyish years, I mean, they're called AD, meaning the years of our Lord. So basically, we're saying the significant event in history was Yeshu, and so many years have passed since his Yahrzeit. That's basically what we're saying. So even though we don't actually verbalize it, but it's still that. When we say that today is the first day of the week, the second day, the third day, we're relating it to Shabbos. When we say it's the first month, means this month is the month of Klal Yisrael's creation. And all the months are significant in how they relate to this. And he says, so just like on Shabbos, when we say Rishon Shenis, it's the same thing, by months. And therefore, v'zeh tam rishon lachem, sheinenu rishon bashana, avol rishon lachem shekol zekar negaseinu. Ramban says a very interesting point here. People always are bothered by it. Make up your mind. Is Rosh Hashanah the beginning of the year? Is this the beginning of the year? Which is the beginning of the year? And the answer is, let's give an example. Lahav lof abdolus, a goy will celebrate New Year, and I'll celebrate his anniversary. In other words, in the big picture, a year starts with Tishrei, and that's B'yis HaOlam, and so on and so forth. But there's a smaller picture, and that's me, us. For us, Klal Yisrael, Hayom Hazeh Ni'eis HaLa'am, that's when you became something significant. That's when you are who you are, and that's when you're Klal Yisrael. So we have two pictures. A picture of the world, and then we have a picture of Klal Yisrael. Arishna Hazeh L'chem, Reish Chadashim, is for Klal Yisrael, this is the beginning of history. Because Kiram said it, and Chazal really alluded to it. Va'omru, they said, Shemas Chadashim Oli Man Lebavel. Bavel is where we got those names of Nisa Yasivan. Kimitchilo Elam Shemas Atzlein, Vasiba Vazeh, Kimitchilo Yimilyonam Zechel Yis Mitzrayim. Al Kasalina Mi Bavel is Kaim Hashem Har Kasav, Loi Amo Yit Chai Hashem, Asa Helos Nei Yisom Yitz Yisrayim, Kim Chai Hashem Shaila, Shevet Eil Rats Ofen. It's Chazar Melika Chadash Shem Kron Baritz Bavel. To mark our Geula from Bavel, we introduce those names. Lahaski Kisam Amadim Shalom Hashem. Because he says Nisan E and so on are Persian names. Well, he must say Rak Besifin Evi Bavel. Miguel Sester. L'chein amar kosev chodesh rishchodesh nisan kemohi polpur hu agoro. The Pasuk is translating it. The Pasuk says it was in the first month, which is what is called now Nisan. V'odai yom agoyim baratzis paras amodai kachim karoisin Nisan v'tishrei. V'kulim kamayinu. So Ramban says that it is the reason the Rosh Chodeshim means that when to use it in our counting and so on, that's what we do. And in America, it's not so practical, but in Eretz Yisrael, where a bank will honor a check written for, you know, Chaf Hei Iyar or something like that, they will, you know, when the Hebrew date they'll honor, so people are mocked to use the Hebrew date, and it's appropriate to use it. In Cliff Lawrence, you can have a little bit of a difficulty cashing a check that says Chaf Hei Iyar and something like that, so listen, we do that, but it's important. It's important that we preserve it. Keep, you know, a person writes a letter, a person does different things, and because it's not just that it's just kind of the Jewish date. The Jewish date marks significant events, and we need to bear that in mind. That's a very, very important. It's a way we keep hammering into ourselves that this is, you know, this is what we're about, and this is the significance of our dates and years and so on.
Rebbe,
yes.
How do we understand the names for certain months in Tanakh that they're from Hebrew, like Chodesh Ziv and Chodesh Bul and Chodesh Ha'Nitanim?
They seem to be nicknames. Chazal say that they were nicknames after significant events that happened then. Mm-hmm. So Itanim is when the Avos were there, and Ziv is when everything blossoms and becomes beautiful. There was sort of spring, like saying spring month or something like that. Okay, the next one is Aran, Justice Aran, that also speaks about the significance of counting from Nisan. I mean, years and months, what does it mean it's your new year? It's your beginning. I mean, you know, they, it applies across the board. You can't, it's really no inherent point of beginning in these things, because since the year is a cycle, so what do you mean the beginning? Anytime you want to stop it, it begins and ends. Being that the orbit is a cycle, so that's you know, there's no beginning, no end to it. What's the point of it? Even though Chazal it said that this ought to be the time, in other words, there's a certain nature, nature awakens and begins to become alive in this month. That is correct. So it is, in a certain sense, we can say, yes, this is the time of becoming, but it's certainly not from a very, very abstract chronomy of the absolute beginning of the year. It's sort of it fits, but it's not, you can't describe it as such. Zeh omni tochim yinus hachama, kashev skol zeh. Al leminyan halevona, kashu minyaneinu, ein ha-chedesh zeh v'lo yishum chedesh v'chot shashon yishu chadash lai seifa. He says a stronger point. He says as follows. In the summer, in counting the calendar year of the sun, we could say, yes, the sun is the cause of the natural cycle in terms of the weather, the growth, and so on and so forth. So it makes sense to say this is the beginning of the agricultural cycle. Things begin to blossom. So that would make somewhat sense on a solar cycle. But a lunar cycle, it's meaningless. Because in a pure lunar cycle, it happens whenever it feels like happening. It keeps going round, so we keep correcting it, but at the end of the day, that's what happens. So what's the pshat over here? So he says, L'chein ama, ha-choydez e-lochem, yimei yoyse shenenu royu mitzar atas rosh chodoshim, lochem rosh yish rosh, achar shenik altem boy, v'shetchil lochem boy ha-teira. So he says, it's a beginning because it's a beginning for you. In other words, not that the time itself of Nisan has inherently any properties to make the beginning. But for you, Klal Yisrael, it's your beginning. L'chein amachiz l'chem imei yesh enen roev ta'atzen shesh chadashim. L'chein roev shesh chedesh achzik altim eschil v'em ha'teira. Ki kol min enenu roev shen esod na'asrosh ha'teira lo'y kifinin ha'tivi. Ki ein enen nerfin ha'tivi al kol fach mobaynes. So the Ran says, this itself expresses that beginning and end for us are really a distinct from beginning and end of the natural order. The natural order is a solar calendar. There's a very clear beginning to the agricultural cycle. Things begin to blossom, things, they dry out, things die in the winter, and so on and so forth. But we need to look past that and say, when did we become a people? When did we begin to blossom? When did we begin to grow? It was Chodesh Nisan. In other words, time associates itself with certain phenomena. There's the natural time, which associates itself with natural phenomena. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Day, night, those are things that fall into one cycle, and in that cycle, time has the mastery over us, and all that is natural follows that pattern. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us a nation and told us, you will not follow natural order. Your fortune will wax and wane completely apart from natural order of things. It'll go by Torah and Mitzvahs, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. So therefore, it's important for us to mark Zmanim on a personal way rather than just in a general way. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. Let's go.